华的丽。
Hi, everybody. My name's Leo, and I'm an alcoholic. And let me just say to you, it's a joy, it's a privilege for me to be here and to talk to you this evening. I've been here all day. I've been here. In this very place. But it's good. And it's wonderful to be able to be here for the birthday and also for us to be able to celebrate our recovery together, because it's not often I get down to San Diego. This is a spiritual program. It's a spiritual program. It's not a religious program. And I've been saying that all day in this church, and I want to say it again here. Somebody said it so beautifully, and that is that religion is man-made, spirituality is God-given. Religion has divided the whole world up. Spirituality teaches the world to hold hands. We are about holding hands. And I was very fortunate to be in Bali, Indonesia, with some other people. And all you need to know is that in Bali, Indonesia, I attended 12-step programs, mainly Hindu community, and it's the same 12 steps and it's the same traditions. And I've been in places like, India, and places like Thailand. And again, all I want to share with you is thank God, that when Bill and Bob and the others were putting together this program, they talked about a spiritual awakening. Because that's when we wake up, right? Am I right? Yes. Very good. Okay. At this time of the year, you're going to hear a song, you hear the song all the time. And often, in many cases, we don't think it's about ourselves. And yet it is. It's about you and me. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny... And if you ever saw it, you would almost say it glowed. All of the other reindeers used to laugh and call him names. They'd never let old Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you lead my sleigh tonight? Now all the reindeers love him. And they shout aloud with glee, Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer. You will go down in history. Now, you may be saying, well, what's that got to do with AA? The man's taken a turn. We heard he wasn't well, but now he's showing it. Well, let me tell you, it's about you and me. You see, Rudolph had something about him that was different. And you and I have had something about us that is different. And some of the closest people to us used to laugh and call us all kinds of names. And then, on an extraordinary day, a foggy, misty day, a message came to you and to me. And that was that you are lovable and you are special. And the one thing that you thought was going to keep you down, he's going to take you into another realm. So, ladies and gentlemen, and then what did we find? The same people that used to laugh and call his names. They're the ones who shout aloud with glee. Oh, maybe not shout aloud. Hey, Leo, you're going to go down in history. And you listen to the speakers. And you listen to the birthdays. You listen to the people who are keeping those special months. Our history is assured if we stay sober. We've only just begun. Just for you to know that I'm from England, I'm not from Ohio. And I say that, I say it. Because a lot of people sometimes don't realize that we had a prime minister who used to drink. Some of you may remember his name. His name was Winston Churchill. He used to drink a bottle of brandy a day. That was just the brandy. And there's a lovely story of Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was sitting at dinner with Lady Astor, and Lady Astor turned to Winston Churchill and said, Winnie, you're drunk. And Winston Churchill, in his inimitable way, said, Madam, you are ugly. But I shall wake up sober in the morning. She was very quick to say to him, she says, Winnie, if I was your wife, I'd put poison in your soup. Madam, if I was your husband, I'd drink it. Now, I tell you, you're having a laugh and you think, well, that's funny. But no, that's the disease. Cunning and baffling and powerful. We made people close to us think that they're the problem. They ought to go see the doctors. We were tricky. We were all kinds of things. And that's what the humor of Winston Churchill reveals. Now, do we have anybody here from Al-Anon? Anybody from Al-Anon? Anybody from Al-Anon? Don't be shy. You never used to be. It's a lovely story. It's a lovely story about an Al-Anon with 7 years in recovery. How many years?
Seven.
How many?
Seven.
But she married badly. She married a very old-fashioned man, and on the wedding night, they go to the bedroom. And the man, he takes off his trousers, and he throws his trousers in the middle of the bedroom. He says, wife, get into those trousers. She says, I can't get into those trousers. He says, no. And don't forget who wears the trousers in this marriage. But how many years does she have in Al-Anon? She does no more. She throws her panties in the middle of the bedroom. She said, husband, get into those panties. He says, I can't get into those panties. She says, no, and you won't until you change your attitude. Now, some of you may be thinking, what's recovery got to do with panties? Everything. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, in these rooms, and it's no small thing, some of us are learning to say yes when for years we said no. And also many of us are learning to say no to things that for years we said yes to. We've only just begun. This is not a program just about not drinking. This is a program of another explanation of AA, an altered attitude. Only the first step refers to alcohol. The other 11 steps are about how we change our attitude and how we change our behavior. We've only just begun. If we practice this program, believe you me, we practice this program in all our affairs. Father Martin tells a lovely story about a guy who's at a meeting and he says, I used to be a drunken thief and today I'm a sober thief. Father Martin says, no. You cannot be a thief in this program. In this program, you cannot be a racist or a sexist or a liar. It's an honest program. If any of us have any doubts about it, it was formulated in such a way, it's rigorous honesty. We've only just begun. You heard the 5-minute speaker say that now he knows where he's gone and what he's done. He knows his kids. He knows his wife. We may come into this program on the first step when our lives are unmanageable and we feel powerless. That's how we come in. But believe you me, as we grow in this program, we start to take responsibility for our lives. And many of us start to discover a spiritual power. Today, when I go on vacation, I know where I've been. I know who went with me. I was talking at a high school, Do you know, a lot of the people at the high school, this is a high school, and they did not know, I hope you know here in San Diego, they did not know that Christopher Columbus was alcoholic. Did you know? When he set off, he didn't know where he was going. When he got there, he didn't know where he was. When he got back, he didn't know where he'd been. And it was all paid for by a woman. So this program, of course we change. We are promised a spiritual awakening. And by the way, there are many different ways for each speaker to present. My emphasis has always been, and by the way, my emphasis on spirituality and in my life is the same. And that is not to take yourself too seriously. You know, I find humor in this program. I find humor in my life. And very often I'm very much aware, because we are in a church that practices metaphysical thinking, and many of the members who are here tonight are actually also people who come to this church. And often a question that is asked in churches like this is, why does the alcoholic still need to say he's alcoholic? And it's a very powerful and important question. Because we are a people of remembrance, ladies and gentlemen, remembrance. What we're really saying is, not that we're glad we're alcoholic, what we're really saying is that we're glad we know we're alcoholic. The Jews have said to the world, that we talk about the Holocaust and we write about the Holocaust and we speak about the Holocaust, because if we don't, it might all come back. And we speak about it. And we write about it, and we talk about it. Why? Because if we don't, it might all come back. I've met, like you've met, people who've gone out again. I've never met anybody who went out again who followed this program. It's all about what you want. Because actually, some of you say, well, I went and listened to hear Father Leo speak. No. I may be the speaker, but it's your story. It's your story. It's going to be your loneliness and your pain, because this is our disease. And what this program says is say what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. Very, very quickly, just to identify, I started to drink in a private school in England. It was a boys' school in England. They used to give us beer to drink, beer. And it wasn't so much that I got drunk, and it wasn't so much that I liked the taste, but I liked how I felt when I drank. I won't be the first speaker or the last speaker to say this is the disease. I liked how I felt when I drank. I'm 5'7", 5'8" on a very good day. When I drank, I felt 6'2", bigger. I had a stutter. We're talking a stutter. A stutter. When I drank, I lost the stutter. I thought I found a friend, you see. And nobody referred to alcohol in those days. I'm talking many years ago now. Nobody referred to alcohol as a drug. Everybody who was anybody drank. And I thought I'd found this friend, and I drank it through university, and all you need to know is, because it's cunning, and it's baffling, and it's powerful, and you know it's patient. It can wait. And I went through some of the best universities, And just like you, I had to have an excuse to find other drunks to drink with. And so I said to the other priests in the house, the lost and the lonely, those sheep without a shepherd, they need me. And I know where they are. They're all in the bar. And I'll tell you, you walk into a bar dressed like this, people notice you. People say, a walking oil slick's just come in. Who's the penguin at the end of the bar? Everybody likes to talk to a priest. Even if they don't like you, they still come over. People come over and say, give Father Leo a single, give him a double, give him a triple. And then they'd come over and say, you're the kind of priest we like. Jesus sent you. You drink like we drink. You smoke like we smoke. You throw up like we throw up. People started to go from my from the pub to my church. My church was full of drunks. A woman said to her husband, shall we stay at home? Listen to Benny Hill. Or shall we go to church? Listen to Father Leo. Same thing's going to happen. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again. If you're a nurse and you're an alcoholic, there's going to be times you're drunk in the hospital. If you're a doctor, there's going to be times you're drunk in the surgery. If you're a truck driver and an alcoholic, there's going to be times you're driving your truck drunk. If you're a priest and an alcoholic, there's going to be times you're doing the services drunk. I remember once doing a funeral drunk. I tell you, I followed the coffin into the hole. Tell you, it's real scary when you hear the amens coming from above. But it was an Irish funeral. Nobody cared. They just said, ah, it's a priest in a hole full of dirt. Let's get him out, get him out. They just got me out. We just carried on. Nobody knows about that. Except the family and me. Do you know the interesting thing? Think about your alcoholism. There's a lot of things that nobody really knows. Remember those quiet evenings when you were so lonely? Those times when you really, really considered whether you should end your life. You couldn't go on. Remember those wet beds? Or like peeing in the corner? You thought it was some toilet, but it's a corner. What about the telephone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning to somebody you met 17 years ago in Mexico? Told us to say hello. How are you doing? You talk about insanity. But you know, everybody in this room has their personal and private hell. But that's not why we're here. Our alcoholism got out. The reason why we're here is it got out. People got to know. People who shouldn't have got to know, got to know. Think about it. The reason we're here is because, at some level, our alcoholism got out. It's no longer a private affair. It's not a personal affair. People got to know. For me, the embarrassment, and that's the embarrassment, because with the embarrassment comes the pressure. That's why you come with your court cards. Sometimes some of us hear something from somebody. That's why we're here. And part of my story is remembering, how did it get out? Not the private stuff that nobody knows about, the loneliness and the fear. That's painful. But it got out. And it got out for me at a baptism. All you need to know is I did a baptism and I was not, I wasn't drunk, but I was mellow. People turned up for the baptism, and I arrived. And you know, when you're mellow, you don't need any help. Just give me the baby, will you? Give me the baby. I baptized the baby in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Daphne. The woman, the mother, she let loose such a scream. She said, "Father Leo, it's a little boy." I don't care what the hell it is, it's Daphne now. He said, "Is there anything we can do about it?" I said, "No." No. Forever and a day, he will be called Daphne. 2 days later, she called the bishop. Bishop called me up at home. Booth, that's my name, Booth. I said, "Hello." I said, "I want to see you." Put the phone down. Now, why did the bishop want to see me? Now, remember, the bishop's only an employer dressed in purple. I'm thinking to myself, why does the bishop want to see me? Because remember, we're alcoholic. We move on. I didn't stay with this baptism. I moved on. You know what we're like. I go to see the bishop. The bishop says, "That letter, a letter. It's about you, you fool. God, you're a fool." Then he looked at me. The bishop looked at me straight in the eyes. Straight in the eyes. He was a small man. He said, "Have you been drinking? Don't you been drinking? Are you sick? Are you demented?" And then when he looked at me and said, "Have you been drinking? See if you can catch yourself in this." "Who?" "Me? I am the Bible." "No." But he didn't believe me. But he couldn't prove it. You ever been in a situation where you're telling a lie and you know that they know you're telling a lie, but they can't prove it? All you need to know is, the bishop said to me, "Quit it. Quit it." I said, "Quit it." He said, "Quit it." I said, "Quit it." He said, "Just quit it." I said, "I'll quit it." He said, "Good, quit it." I'm driving home. I quit it. Interesting. I quit it for 6 months. Canning! Baffling! Powerful! Patient. 6 months. I wasn't sober, but I was dry. Dry as a leaf! Dry! We're talking dry. When you're dry, it's not the same. Dry, any pressure. Sometimes you meet people in these programs who are dry. Have you met any? You say, "Oh, any pressure, they break up the top." I went to speak at a Texas AA convention. A guy picked me up 6 years. He driving along to the convention. The lights changed. He said, "God, I hate it when they do that." I said, "Don't worry about it, they'll change back." Some people are dry. How do you know if you're dry? When you're always finding fault. You find fault with the big book, you find fault with the speaker. Oh. Find fault with anything you want to find fault with. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, we do as best as we can with what we have. The last thing we need in this wonderful movement is to be divided. Gossip's a killer. Gossip's a killer, and it's also not only a killer, it's a sign of cowardice. Ladies and gentlemen, dry is not what you and I are about. We're about being supple. We live and let live. We learn to understand. And all you need to know is for 6 months I was dry. So anybody in this room who knows about being dry, I know what it was like. And it wasn't pleasant. I didn't have a program. I didn't know who I was. I hadn't accepted or surrendered. All you need to know is that I was to drink again, and it was my last drink. 4th of July, 1977 is my sobriety date. 1977, so it's 21 years. By the way, in England, we don't keep the 4th of July. It's a terrible waste of tea. Bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, I went to a party, they offered me a drink, I took the drink, and then I went home. One drink. Are you following me now? One drink. But I left my watch. This is funny thing, a watch, a watch. What's the watch got to do with it, Leo? I'm going to tell you. I'm the speaker. Bottom line is, you got the watch. I go back, I call to get the watch the next day, and I go back to the same bar where I had one drink. And the man gives me his watch, and he says, have one for the road. All you need to know is, I took that drink, and if you're an alcoholic, you know, but I'm going to, the lion was disturbed. I took that drink, and I needed another drink, and another drink, and I'll tell you, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd been to many bars, and I was as drunk as a skunk. And I tried to drive home, but my car hit a tree, and it hit a lamppost, and the car just shot up in the air. The car shot up in the air. Two old ladies in a garden said, look, there goes Father Leo. That's how he travels now. But I didn't stay up there. Crane came down, crash, bang, wallop, back. We're talking so much. I'm sitting there bleeding, the glass all over the road, and I hear the ambulance coming in the distance. And here's what we've come for tonight. I had a moment. There's a moment in everybody's life when you see yourself as you really are. I saw me. You're like an out-of-body experience. I'm now looking at me, and I'm drunk, and I'm bleeding, and I'm looking at me, and I don't want to be this man. And I don't want to die this way. This is not who I am. It's a moment in everybody's life. Maybe your moment was when somebody you love more than anybody else looked at you straight in the face and they said to you, it's over, I'm leaving you. And to this day, you know they've gone. There's many moments. Maybe your moment was when you looked at your mother and your father and you love your mother and you love your father, but they are crying again. Again. Because of you. Maybe you've got children, you know, and you know deep in your heart and in your soul you love your children, but you know that your children don't want to know you. There are many moments in this room. And that is the moment on which everything hangs. Because if you forget your moment, you forget who you are. My name is Leo. And I am an alcoholic. Because I remember my moment. Having the moment is not enough. The reason why we're sober today and others out there are still drinking, they had their moments, but they have not chosen to remember. When you come into rooms like this, you are made to remember. Because with what is said in chapter 5, as you read the steps and the traditions, the 5 or 10 minute sharer, the speaker, you remember. There are enough stories in this room for you and I to identify with. We've only just begun. And some people feel that at some level, God got them sober. Let me tell you something. If God was to get us sober, there would not be a drunk on this planet. Don't ever think that God loves me any more than the person who's now in San Diego, drunk, down on 4th Street. It's got nothing about God's love for us. It's the fact that I started to love me. That's why I'm here. Sometimes, I think we paint a very unusual view of this God. God has given us tremendous choice. That's why some of us know people who went out again, and some died. There is a thing called freedom. And that, by the way, is what makes some men and women great. This program is not just about God. It's about you, and it's about me. The reason why some of us in this room, especially the heroic stories in this room, the reason why we're sober is some of us were shaking for close on 6 weeks. Some of us willingly went into a recovery home for 6 months. There's a price for this recovery. It's not just a gift from God. It's a gift that I have been holding on to for 21 years. We talk about 12 steps, and they're 12 steps. And it's up to you whether you make those steps or not. Nobody in AA ever says, Frank, will you come up and read the 12 standstills? Twelve steps. And when you take those steps, into a new life. Oh yes, different relationships. Oh yes, a different way of looking at business. A different way of speaking. We're changing, ladies and gentlemen. We're changing. Only the dead don't change. We're alive. This is a growing movement. Touching lives, not just with alcohol now, but many, many other lives. Sexual addiction, eating disorders, codependency. This is a pregnant miracle for the world. It's very powerful. Ladies and gentlemen, also sometimes I think we give this image sometimes of us saying to this higher power, this great spirit, this God, God, take my life. Take it. Go on, God. Take my life. God says, no. Take it. No. Then God looks at you and me straight in the eyes and says, why you give your life to me? I gave it to you. Live it. Struggle, sweat, have pain. You'll have losses and you'll have gains. That's life. How dare you hand over your life back? You don't have to hand your life over to anything anymore. That's addiction. Today, you and I, we take responsibility. We stand. You heard the 5-minute, 10-minute speaker? Today we make amends. Today we don't feel good. If we are off this program, if we're off the track, it's a great program. And it's a spiritual program. And it's about you and I clearing house. Where have I come from? I can tell you. Where have I come from? 21 years, I never would have come to this country. Sometimes people on an interview or TV say, what's the most important thing in your life? The most important thing in your life is your priesthood or your mother? I said, no. No. The most important thing in my life is my recovery. Because without my recovery, I have no mother and no father. Without my recovery, I have no priesthood. Without my recovery, I have no life. And I add my voice to the voice of many people that are saying to those of us in this 12-step program, what is the matter with us? When we average out at 79 cents for a meeting, and we think nothing of spending $5, $10, $30 for cigarettes, what is the matter with us? Sometimes, all of us, and I include myself, we need to be reminded. This is the only thing worth spending money on in our lives. This is it! And I can't tell you, all over where I live in Long Beach and Los Angeles, huge meetings, I got no money. It's because sometimes we don't appreciate this gift. This gift that gave us life. The person that you're holding next to you, the person who's in your life, the car that you drive home tonight, we've only just begun. And some of us hold back on giving to this. We've got to be crazy. Because it's not the program. We've got to be insane. For me, it's everything. I've taken this 12-step program in my church. 80% of my church is recovering. The other 20% should be. Can you not? I believe that if the world had this 12-step program, the world would be a safer place to live in. Don't you agree? Powerful program. It brought me to the United States, put me on Oprah Winfrey. I never would have been on Oprah Winfrey. You've got to be joking. I went on Oprah 3 times. And so many of the other big shows, talking about my recovery, because I'm an alcoholic. I will never say I'm a member of AA. It's my anonymity. But I will share that I'm an alcoholic and I'm in recovery. I'm a recovering alcoholic because I want somebody out there to have hope. I'm not going to be ashamed of my disease. I protect this program, but I will not protect this disease. Anything that I've written, anything that I've done is because of this program. Now I'm able to do retreats. I've just come back from Bali, Indonesia. There I was able to connect with people in recovery. We've only just begun. I have a world today. I have friends today. I see this world because of this program. You've got to believe I love it. And if you say, God, he's enthusiastic. God, he gets all excited. You bet. I have passion for this. Because if I don't have passion for this, what could I have passion for? The passion is real. And so I end my story to you. And I hope I will see some of you again in these many, many rooms and many places where we can meet. I end my story with something that happened in Atlanta, Georgia. I've given a talk, like tonight, many people at this convention. And a young man called David came over. And he was an alcoholic and a crackhead, and he shook my hand just like a crackhead shakes the hand. He shook the hand, I said, oh. He said, my name's David. Yes, I said, oh, no. He said, I loved what you said. He said, I loved what you said about your moment. I said, yes. He said, yes. He said, about the car crash. I said, do you have a car crash? He says, no. But he said, I had a moment. And he said, when you talked about that moment, he said, I knew what you were talking about in my life. I said, what was the moment? He said, I'm going to tell you. He said, I hear your accent. He said, do you believe that God can speak through a song? I said, a song? Sure. God speaks through prophets and poets. God speaks through writers. Of course God can be heard in a song. He says, I'll tell you why, because he said, I was going out to use crack. I know I was. I put my coat up, you know. I'm going to get some crack, you know, maybe something to drink. And the radio was on, and I'd heard this song 1,000 times, you know. I'd heard it 1,000 times. But this time, I'd never really heard it like I heard it that night. I really heard it. And he said, the reason I'm saying it is, he says, the group that sang the song came from your country. It was the Beatles. And this song has since been made famous by Tina Turner. The words of the song that really brought David to his moment were these. When I was a young man, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now those days have gone. I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind, and I've opened up the door. So help me. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? And he said, Father Leo, I found help. I said, I know, David, so did I. That's the message here tonight. If you want help, there's help. If you're prepared to go to any length, then that's exactly what you'll get, the world. In programs like this, people learn to live again like they've never lived before. In programs like this, people learn to love and start to love themselves like they've never loved before. And you've got to believe it. Because it's last, but it's certainly not least. In programs like this, some of us learn to laugh. Laugh like we've never laughed before. Thank you very much for listening to me.